Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Greetings to the body of the people. This is a man called Chris Dorsey, and you're listening to the Militia Intelligence Report on Renegade Broadcasting. And we have an excellent show for you tonight, as always. We're going to talk basically about the plan that's already being implemented. When we discuss things on this show, we're only discussing what smarter individuals than ourselves have laid out. And in general, that's the founding documents of our country, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution for the United States. And under those documents, the verified treason, the verified tyranny, the verified crimes against humanity and crimes against nature are swiftly dealt with under what we're being told is the rule of law, which is the only law of the land here in America, and that's the Constitution for the United States. And it is ordained by the people, which means, like every other artificial construction of man, because God creates man and man creates government, like every other government or any other artificial creation of man, it is clear to those who are rational and logical thinkers, or just anyone who's not delusional, that government is intended to help man and to protect the property of man. And that's not what this government does. And everything that this government does is unlawful according to the Constitution for the United States. So when we advocate things, and we've been doing this for many years, not very long here at Renegade Broadcasting, but you can go back to 2010 and you can see us on local media. And when I say us, I mean myself and also other members of the Virginia Militia, pointing directly to those who carried out the 9/11 attacks, the State of Israel, financed and benefited by the Federal Reserve banking system, which is the American arm of something called the Bank for International Settlements, which is located in Basel, Switzerland, which funds all sides of all military conflicts and is the central bank of all the central banks of the world. So back even in 2010, you'd see the militia, the Virginia militia, exposing, not even exposing because we couldn't expose them. It's just evident for everyone to see, displaying the evidence that the government is criminal, tyrannical, and treasonous, meaning it is engaged in war against the people. That's obvious. We named the 9/11 perpetrators inside and outside the government. Of course, this was a Mossad operation. I mean, and of course, they're subsidiary groups, the FBI and the CIA were in on those operation, that operation as well. And of course, you needed AIG and Anbang, all the reinsurance companies you needed for that operation. And of course, you need the banks to be able to short sell and ignore all the evidence of the short selling, the wartime hoarding, all of that stuff that was evidence that, I mean, basically when we started out, I mean, who were we? I don't know. I mean, we were exposing this. It seemed obvious to us, and it still to this day doesn't even seem obvious to those who allege that they're exposing the real perpetrators of the 9/11 attack. But that was 7 years ago. So then we started going on press TV, international television, and they started calling me an economist, not because I'm formally trained, but because how the global economy works is so simple, and the actual economists, they have to come up with 100 irrelevant things to say about what's going on in the world economy, and 100 irrelevant persons or institutions that are pulling the strings, when they're just basically skipping over the fact that all of the private central banks are owned by the same, and they happen to be Jewish, big surprise, the same owners. And it controls the Bank of Russia, the Bank of China, the Bank of England, the ECB, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of Canada, the Bank of Japan. So then we'll segue into this political theater where you see allegedly, I mean, there's no proof of any of this stuff on television, Kim Jong-un having a dance party for firing off another rocket, allegedly. There's no proof of that. And it just so happens that the compromised Jewish agent in chief, Donald Trump, is meeting with the prime minister of Japan as this alleged rocket lands in the Sea of Japan. Where is the proof of any of this? Well, it's on CNN, and there's pictures of a dinner party at Mar-a-Lago and the most absolutely absurd celebration. I loved it. I loved watching the celebration from North Korea, because it is so wacky. Everything's so wacky there, from the diplomacy through Dennis the Worm Rodman, the former NBA and WWF or WWE wrestling superstar. And then when you find out that Korea is a big-time operation, of course, they're going to have the Olympics there next year. They have this South Korean intelligence operation called K-pop. I mean, this is a military operation. This is what we're distracted by, because at the end of the day, we're only interested in all the weapons of war, which are guaranteed to the militia under state and federal law. That's the only law of the land. And we're interested in the property. And we're interested in the issuance of all currency and all hard assets. And those are the only things that matter. And everything else is just a distraction. And when Donald Trump is meeting with this guy, Abe, who's the prime minister of Japan, and they're having handshaking issues, man, that guy, Donald Trump, he's a chump, man. He's not trying to intimidate anybody with his handshakes. If I shook hands with him, I'd turn his hand straight over and smack him in the back. You work for me. You're a little bitch boy. Because that's what he is. He's a compromised individual because he got caught up in this gambling epidemic, the child rape ring, because he's a child rapist that's been verified. Many people have testified in courts of law. And there's tons of pictures of him molesting his own daughter. And then you bring in Jared Kushner, whose family is so totally tied to this Holocaust hoax and the Chabad Lubavitch International Crime Network, which operates out of Brighton Beach with Russian Jews and out of Moscow with Russian Jews. And they're at the top of that chain. And he's got a lot of leverage on Donald Trump. Hey, but that doesn't stop him from you know, being an incompetent businessman as well, because he lost his shirt on 666 Fifth Avenue and he needed Stephen Roth to come and bail him out. And also, he needed Ambang Insurance Company to bail him out, because that's where you see the melding of this Jewish money with the control of these Chinese intelligence operations, because they're the ones that are funding North Korea. And who's funding them? The Bank for International Settlements through Basel III. Look it up, guys. If you don't know this stuff, hey, you need to like go back to like grammar school and chalk up, bone up, I should say, on the fundamentals of how things work, and not believe just not some nonsense just because you're hearing it over and over again. There's certain ways that things work. There's certain fingerprints that are always left when there's gigantic financial transactions. And when Jared Kushner can't even pay 40% of his mortgage on a $1.8 billion building through those who are renting out space in that building. So 60% of his mortgage cannot be paid through the natural way that landlords, at least in a halfway logical system, would pay back their mortgage. That's an empty building. Who bailed him out? Well, Stephen Roth did. How did he do that? Well, he did it through Anbang Insurance and the People's Bank of China. Man, it's so simple, folks. What don't you get about it? It's that simple. This is a criminal operation, and we've laid out every sort of tactic, every target, and every reason to carry it out, and it's foolproof. It's foolproof, and it's the only way things are going to get done. We don't just want, oh, yeah, we want these. No, all the weapons of war. Because if we start surrounding these guys with with rifles, lawfully arresting these guys, all they have to do is turn on these sound weapons, which will force individuals to throw their arms down and run away. They have deadly weapons of war that you are not aware of. And I'm aware of most of them, but I'm not aware of all of them. And that's how we have to operate here, folks. This is war. They have declared war on us a long time ago. A long, long time ago. And when we go on international television, on state property, with a PBS camera pointed at me, just like everybody else here, you know, who goes on any sort of international television station, I'm sitting in the exact same seat as every politician, banker, etc. And we say, look, this government is treasonous. We have the proof here. We have the proof there. And there's only one solution, and that is the lawful abolition of this government and the lawful punishment of every single government official. And that goes for the Bar Association, who is behind all of this stuff, all these reinsurance companies, all these companies like Ernst & Young. They have lawyers that make their final decision. The Pentagon, before they terrorize children, before they terrorize entire nations, before they terrorize the minds of every living being on the planet, they got a lawyer that puts a check mark by it, going, hey guys, a lawyer said it's okay. A Bar Association lawyer said it's okay. So get to it. So what does that mean? Every single judge and lawyer is guilty of treason. And if anybody would love to dispute that, hey, please call up. I rarely get anybody who disagrees with me. And when we do, we all know what has happened there. I mean, every show on here is archived. Everything that I've said and everything that everybody else on this radio network has said about me is archived. And I would say I'm pretty accurate and very clear that when we're talking about taking actions, we're talking about taking lawful actions required by the law. and not just required by the law, but once you figure this stuff out, that every aspect of every city, state, and local government and government around the world is criminal and is engaged in war against the people all across the planet, is actively, overtly making efforts to destroy the environment, to spread poison and put poison in the water. Not only poison people, but make money through doing it. And then the television is there just to sully the mind and confuse people 100%. And I'm not even one who goes out and tells people, turn off your TV. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to say, watch what everybody else is doing and analyze the lies. When it starts, I mean, this stuff becomes simple. I mean, these false flags, I mean, it's obvious. Here's a scenario for you folks. Donald Trump, man, he's got members of his own cabinet who seem to be almost getting fired. I'm talking about Michael Flynn at this point, national security advisor, and he's gone out and saying, hey, I don't even know if we're going to be around this time next year. He's referencing himself, but he's also referencing Trump. You know, they could set up a scenario where they create some sort of narrative where everybody's distracted trying to get rid of Trump. Oh, wow. In comes the new false flag attack. And what's the only way Trump can stay in? Oh, just shut everything down. He's the commander in chief. Everybody knows he's gone crazy. Everybody's talking about his mental health issues. They're making a big joke about it. They're covering Saturday Night Live skits as if it is something that is relevant in the news. They're acting as if this CIA Mossad agent who calls himself John Oliver on HBO's Last Week Tonight or whatever that garbage is called has anything relevant to say. We've already identified these individuals. We've gone on international television and we've told you how to neutralize these folks lawfully in every sort of way. And if that's not good enough for you, if going on press TV, Al Alam, Al Atajia, if forcing my way onto that degenerate Alex Jones video on InfoWars when they're like, yeah, we don't want to put you on camera, Chris. And I just go like, oh, well, I'm going to make you put me on camera. And we go on and on about arresting immediately all the members of the Bilderberg group. And we had already written letters to the superintendent of the state police, Stephen Flaherty, and the local police chief in Chantilly, Virginia, which was this guy named Stephen Rohr, Colonel Stephen Rohr. We wrote them letters saying, you guys are committing treason if you don't arrest these folks. They're violating the law in all sorts of different ways. There's agents of every foreign government, and they are giving instructions to the leaders of the United States government. We have verified this to you, and we've publicly written a letter to you. Man, this is old hat. There's nothing else to do, folks, except for put more pressure. And you know how you put more pressure on? Act for yourself. Trust in yourself. We've given you the instructions. We've given you the orders. I've even gone into detail to tell you where I got the orders from. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bowman. He's passed away. He said to me, Chris, we're in a very precarious situation here, and the militia is the only way out of this. And it's the law. And if you want to look into who Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bowman is, he's known as the godfather of the Star Wars program, which he repudiated the terminology Star Wars program. The main terminology I ever heard him using was Operation Bambi. You don't hear about Operation Bambi, but that was the real operation. The Strategic Defense Initiative, that was a ruse. Star Wars, that was a ruse too. Yeah, they were weaponizing space, of course, as much as they could. But the real operation was called Operation Bambi. But in any event, by that point, that was parts of our conversations we used to have. But the other parts were, hey, this 9/11 attack was carried out by Israel. It's pretty obvious. And this has been verified because this guy not only was a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, not only the godfather of the Star Wars program, but he was a NORAD pilot. And he knows, hey, that's not what happened. Is if the country's under attack, you scramble planes. Look at Payne Stewart. Everybody's heard that one. Yeah, but when he's being blocked out by the media, and this guy has to speak to the media, who's also blocking me out to a lesser extent through me. Wow, that's pretty scary. But that's what happened. That's how all of this started that you're hearing right now. And at that point, I had no idea that my great, great, great grandfather, Edward W. Dorsey, was one of the last members of the Virginia militia. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was a lieutenant in the Virginia militia when we were getting these marching orders from the late Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bowman to look into what the militia is, read into the law, look into what our founding fathers said, ignore those who would put out nonsense calling the Constitution a con when all you have to do is read out of the book. I mean, how many times have I read out of this book, David, and somebody goes, is that really what it says in the Constitution? Man, the Constitution's like 25 pages long. Man, if you can't sit down and read the Constitution in one sitting, I don't know what to tell you. You're not smart enough or disciplined enough to be anything but a liability to anyone and everyone who may be opposing this system. David, do you think people even read the Constitution and know what these guys are talking about? Because if you use the Constitution as a template and place it over what the government is doing under the Constitution, everything that this government does is unlawful and in fact treasonous. David, you know that, right?
Well, of course. We talk about Amendment 2 all the time. But let's read through Amendment 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Now, what have we seen during Sandy Hook? I mean, they say we're at war. I tell you the truth, I really can't quite know anymore because that's the way they want it. So, whether... It's just like the police officers searching your house. I read an article the other day about how now they're putting into their laws how a police officer has the right to shoot.
They're codes and statutes. They're unlawful codes and statutes.
That's right. That's why I said their law, but I shouldn't have said law because it's not law. It's their codes. They put into their codes, which I was reading the other day, where a police officer, if he feels threatened by your animal in your household, he has his lawful right to shoot it without nothing happening to him. Now, I've always said, I mean, but they should never, ever, I don't care. Please, Chris, maybe you can help me think of a reason why a police officer or anybody who calls himself the law break into your house. Wait. Chris, let me try something better. I want you to raise your right hand, and I now have appointed you over the President of the United States. I just appointed you as well over the Federal Reserve Bank and the congressional powers the judicial powers and the legislative powers.
Congratulations, right, David, Chris.
You now have authority.
David, let's explain this to the people. Let's explain this. Okay, so
basically,
they just make up this authority. They swear an oath to uphold the Constitution. They do the opposite. They swear on a Bible in which it says in the book of Matthew, don't swear on anything, neither to God or man. So it's all basically contradicting everything. And these guys are liars and they don't have any authority under the law because, of course, the very beginning of the law states, we the people of the United States, people, look up what the word people means in any dictionary, legal or law dictionary or otherwise, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Do we have justice now? No. Ensure domestic tranquility. Hey, does a member of a terrorist gang that is a criminal standing army for the Federal Reserve Bank kicking down your door and being able to kill you and your beloved family pets? Is that domestic tranquility? No, it's not. Provide for the common defense. That's the militia. Promote the general welfare. That's making sure everybody's like okay, which is, you know, not what happens in this society because we have a predatory society. Promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. What is the United States of America? It's whatever is contained in this document. What gives it power? The body of the people. Who ordains the government? The people and their posterity. What does that mean, David? That means me and you. Hey, and it might not mean everyone who's listening, but we'll include them all anyways. But it definitely means me and you.
Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed. No cruel and unusual punishment shall be inflicted.
Hey, we'll cover how they violate all of that stuff. This is intelligence report on Renegade Broadcast.
Saturday, I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there, and she almost knocked me dead.
Punk rock girl,
please look at me. What do you see? Let's travel around the world, just you and me, punk rock girl. I tapped her on the shoulder and said, do you have a bell? She looked at me and smiled and said she did not know.
Punk rock girl,
give me a chance. Let's go slam dance to a dress like Minnie Pearl, just girl. We went to the Philly Pizza Company and ordered some hot tea. The waitress said, well, no, we only...
Greetings, divided people. This is a man called Chris Dorsey, host of the Militia Intelligence Report on Renegade Broadcasting. The Jewish, Masonic, and Vatican-run shadow government is engaged in war against the people. Join us every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, for discussion on restoration of European common law and the latest intelligence analysis. Peace and God bless.
Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. David was just going through a litany of sections of the Constitution that are obviously and overtly just thrown out the window. Of course, you can't get a jury trial. If they had even 15% jury trials in the United States, they wouldn't be able to run their operation. They would have to hire more prosecutors than they could hire. It would take more time. So basically, they just have unlawful trials every trial, which makes excessive bail, which forces cruel and unusual punishment in the system. We've verified violations of Amendment 8, no cruel and unusual punishment, over and over and over again. In the Richmond City Jail, we've gone on television and on the radio and been quoted in the newspaper and shown pictures and held them up on live television about how the so-called sheriff, some freaking guy who can't even speak English called C.T. Woody, we call him Captain Torture, how this guy has violated the Eighth Amendment in murdering dozens and dozens of individuals over the years. And the only thing that happens is he keeps getting fined tens of millions of dollars. Like, nothing legally ever happens. Nothing politically ever happens. He's just built up like a $50 million wrongful debt, for all the people he's killed. And this happens all across the country. And we got Ralph and we got James on the line. I'm going to get to him in just a second. I just want to read out of 18 U.S. Code, Section 241. And I want to say that there are, I want to say, at least 100 city, state, and federal agents who are so guilty and that they have been named in redundancy. I've made lists in redundancy and even called the federal courthouse, verified these individuals' names. It's all on video that these individuals, and when I say these individuals, I've named them on this show. I've written their names down. I've made a video where I slowly go down the list of all these hundreds and hundreds of names of individuals, and every single one of them has violated 18 U.S. Code Section 241, not only with me, but with me specifically, but also others. There's not many who have had their 18 U.S. Code rights violated like I have. Actually, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. But I'll read everything that these guys do. This is the tactic they use against me, and I'm reading from 18 U.S. Code Section 241-Conspiracy Against Rights. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secure to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, or if two or more persons go in disguise on the highway or on the premises of another with intent to prevent or hinder his exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege so secure, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping, just do a quick Google search for government kidnaps Chris Dorsey, or an attempt to kidnap. That's happened to me many, many times. There's no attempt. It's always an abduction, or as they call it, kidnapping. Aggravated sexual assault. Yes, have had that happen and verified that while in custody. Or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill. Yes, we've verified that as well. They shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, and wait for it at the end. The end is the most important part, or maybe sentenced to death. That's what the law says. And that's what they do to me and certain individuals to a much lesser extent like me. Ralph, I'm going to bring you in. Thanks for the call. We got Ralph in Miami Beach. Ralph is always on time. Ralph is always paying attention. And we're happy to have you on the call. What do you have to say tonight, Ralph?
Hey, Chris, Dave, what's going on? Always a pleasure to be on. I'm not actually in Miami Beach itself. I'm in the Miami area, but numbers out of there. But anyway, one important factor to note about our U.S. Constitution, the illegitimate Jews in power with Franklin Roosevelt, they put the Constitution under a state of emergency March 9th, 1933, and whatever drugs they're taking have gotten to their head. They seem to think they could do whatever they want because they write, well, it's under state of emergency. We can do anything we want because we write it on this piece of paper. But they're using their statutes to violate the laws of man, European common law. They're using it to violate. So these people just make things up as they go. And we're talking about all these things, but it's like I said, on the Saturday night show, we spend our lives going from screen to screen. If you get up in the morning, you're looking at your phone. If you go to work, you're on a bus, you're looking out a window, or you're with a bunch of people on their phone. You go to work, you sit in front of a screen. You come home, the same process. Now, we're sitting and looking at screens. So the question is, how do we meet? I already know the answer, but reiterate that again for the people. How do we meet?
Well, I mean, it's up to the individual, but we need to set forward these rational, logical, and lawful places where we must meet. We must meet. Well, the place we're going to meet first is we're all going to meet up at the Apocalypse demonstration. And basically, we've already laid out all the plans. I'll make a call to action. We'll definitely have a press conference. We got enough time. But basically, all we have to do now is show up and say a few words. I mean, because the battle's already won. We've already proved, and we haven't proved it. It's there for everyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear reality. They are convicted. There is enough dirt, enough verification of the treason and the criminal nature of the Israeli lobby through an organization called AIPAC. There's so much proof. We've got it there. All you guys have to do is show up. Hey, I've already made signs. I made signs several years ago that said Israel did 9/11. We made a bunch of them. We don't even have to make new signs. Because
our officials are heads of foreign states. That is a direct violation of U.S. codes. I mean, what we have here is a rogue government that does not operate. The rule of law does not apply to them anymore, but yet we have to hold them to it. But what I mean by that is I've been hearing a lot of the Constitution was written by Freemasons and most likely Jews. Why should we follow that document anyway? Well, not only it's a great document, you can't argue with that, but for some reason they're giving us the idea that it still applies, because I tell you, so often they still say those magic words. They still take their oath and swear upon something to give us the idea that it applies. But if you just do some simple digging, you can just find out in every which way possible they are not following the law, because if they did, it would result in the largest arrest in United States history and the largest mass execution of officials lawfully. And that's just the way that it's done. This is not us. This is the law that they expect us to follow every day. And it's again, like Chris says, it's not my law, it's their law. It is the rules of our servants. We don't have
We're not subject to the United States Constitution. That's something we ordain. You can't be subject to something you create. So when the people create the government, we can't be subject. So I do want to read something that in reference to what Ralph was saying, because, you know, this is – there's a lot of places where it says, hey, you know, if they try to write something, some sort of amendment into the law and it's unconstitutional, it doesn't apply. So I'm going to reference Article 4, Section 4 of Constitution for the United States, and I shall read. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. So, you know, Article 6, Section 6, this is also relevant when you're talking about these sorts of issues, but we've got lots of callers. We've got I'm going to get to a caller in Brentwood, New York, but first we're going to go to James on the line in Tennessee. James, are you with us tonight?
Yes, sir. How's it going, Chris? Seems like you're on fire tonight.
Man, I've got a passion. I've got a passion for this. It's gone back a long time. It gets me going. I'm energized and I'm dedicated to this cause. And I'm really, you know, in the mood to keep it simple for everyone and to put it out there, because there's a lot of nonsense and attacking. And, you know, one thing I'd like to say, sorry, apologies to you, James, but, you know, sometimes I look at the comment section on Renegade Broadcasting. And when we put these videos up on YouTube, they get a lot more comments, but, you know, the silence about what we're saying about how obvious and easy it is to make lawful steps to abolish this government, nobody seems to want to talk about that. And that's all we talk about. And the nonsense that they pick out and focus on, I mean, it's just so obvious that, you know, a lot of people are chicken. A lot of people are phonies. And there's just a lot of, you know, just pure trolling on the website. So yeah, I just wanted to get that out because it just crossed my mind, and I wanted to make sure I talked about that on the air tonight. Go ahead, James. My apologies.
Yeah, that's fine. It seems like that, you know, the internet is good to network with people. I mean, I meet people. I talk to people on the phone. I've met people personally, and I mean, like Kyle was saying yesterday on his show. I mean, we shouldn't be making a lot of kids. We should be out there trying to stop this illegal Jewry going on in the world before we start bringing a lot of kids into the world. And I mean,
sure. And James, I do want to point out that what to have kids or not have kids, and like, you know, that's a rational, like, personal choice. We're talking about the law here. There's no choice in this. This is these folks engaged in war against us. And you know what? I think a major problem with usually how they control populations over time is they control the money and therefore the food that folks are able to afford. So what we have when we have a bunch of individuals having tons and tons of kids, they usually end up on food stamps because they usually are something that kind of it moves further and further away from responsibility, because somebody who's responsible is like, man, I can't even afford to feed myself. How am I going to feed an offspring? Or what really happens is the rich people, they're the ones who are really procreating. They're the ones who are really sucking all the marrow out of the bone of life. And they're the ones that are benefiting from this system, because, like, what are we supposed to do? Have a bunch of kids and, you know, what? You can't afford to send them to a private school because they've taken away all your money. You can't really afford to, you know, have them live in a nice neighborhood because we're stuck in the freaking ghetto.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Well,
it's, you know, this is simple. Certain people need to be in charge and certain people don't. And it's a matter of putting up or shutting up. And the plan's already out there. And there, for folks out there, you don't have a choice on who's in charge, because, hey, nobody's in charge, except for if you really want to, you know, go back and wonder who's in charge. Whoever came up with the idea, that's who's in charge.
Yeah.
Whoever has a plan that's going to work. And you know what? I repudiate anyone who keeps asking me after I've said it 5 minutes later, hey, Chris, what's the plan? The plan is to not include dumbasses in on the plan. So flake off. So that's it. If you don't get this simple stuff, man, you're not going to be anything but a liability to us, as I've said before. If you've got irrational political views and you can't control yourself, and you're, hey, that's fine. Go do it elsewhere. You're not gonna be a part of our group. We're about serious individuals, seriously carrying out a serious mission. And when we talk about the word serious, we can back it up like nobody else can. And if you don't know that, you're a joke. Hey, thanks for calling in, James. We'll be back around. We'll spin around this round table. And I love to call everything a round table because I like to invoke King Arthur and the legend of King Arthur. And we'll just put that out there because, you know, I like to study English history. It's a lot of the basis of what we do, the history of the British Isles. And, of course, our basis, where we get our authority from, man, it goes way back before the Constitution for the United States. And a lot of folks point to King Alfred for what we're talking about control by the militia, by the body of the people. Hey, we're going to go to Brentwood, New York. Brentwood, New York, are you with us tonight?
Yes, Chris, and thank you for taking the call. I just want to say it's a great show. You do have a skill for synthesizing things that are complex, breaking it down. You might say it's simple, but it's not easy, myself included, many other people who may be listening. It's not so easy to let go of programming and conditioned thought that we make ourselves think and other people kind of, you know, indoctrinate us to. So I appreciate what you're doing. The reason I called was the Florida caller ended his comments with how do we meet, and that's why I called, because I was reading an interesting article from libcom.org, which is liberal. The article was a United Kingdom anti-fascist piece. So that's a far more organized, forceful, strong anti-fascist movement for whatever sort of not really anti-fascist we can say about what Antifa is. They're not what we see in the United States. They're a far more militant group, and what they were saying, sorry to be quick, was that it's no platform and violence against people who are perceived as fascist is 100% accessible, and no platforming through violence, not through litigation or law or the government, to give no platform to people who are quote-unquote fascist or far-right or just constitutionalist or, I mean, just not communist. The way to do that is through violence, not through asking the state and Big Brother to stop the mean Nazis, but the recourse is actually to no platform people through violence. And the synthesis of that article, the reason why I called, was that they're not, the organized anti-fascists are not trying to present any sort of attack on free speech. The attack that they're having when they're organized, when not what we have in this sort of reactionary march or whatever thing they do in the States, but in Europe, when they're entrenched, is not to attack free speech, but the freedom to peaceably assemble. So when many people, when we need to look at the Constitution and the First Amendment, and the first thing we go to is freedom of speech, the freedom to be able to say what we feel or express ourselves or whatever. And I feel like we need to know that that what they're going to be attacking and what they are attacking is our right to peaceably assemble, to even get together. Just as a little bit of a flag that just sparked my mind when the caller from Florida said, how do we meet? Well, like you said, you know, to each their own, and however you organically do it and naturally do it, you know, there's no contrivance. But the attack that's coming from the enemy is our ability, and in the States, our right to peaceably assemble. And that is, I think, even before the attack on speech, it's going to be the assault and the disruption of just peaceably assembling for people who are dissidents to the hierarchy and dissidents to the Zog agenda, you know. And
I couldn't agree more. One thing I was planning on already discussing this, but everything that you were describing was unleashed through the Occupy movement, which was a international operation, OPPOR and Canvas. Here in Richmond, I mean, a lot of stuff was going on here. The FBI was, I mean, they weren't just monitoring it. It was the FBI, the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank Police, and the Virginia State Capitol Police, the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond Police. And they were there's even documentation that they were plotting assassinations of Occupy leaders. They weren't interested in the military intelligence, the army intelligence that was running it on the ground, which was very obvious. We verified names and we have videos of lots of video of that. And I'm going to read from, I mean, all you have to do is, I just did a Google search, Occupy Richmond, FBI, Federal Reserve, Capitol Police. And I got all these FBI documents, secret nationwide Occupy monitoring, FBI documents just obtained. The Federal Reserve in Richmond appears to have had personnel monitoring and controlling inside the Occupy movement, small rallies, information received from the Capitol Police, and that's the Virginia State Capitol Police, and that these individuals, and keep, you know, read, there's hundreds of articles documenting this Freedom of Information Act request, and that they were, man, everything you said, if there was a line to speak, and white men were always at the back of the line, and all the meetings ended before the white men could speak, unless they were members of this this operation, unless they were FBI informants, in which case it was basically being run by white men, but only those who were, like you would say, this intifa, this social justice warriors on steroids, and
the good going.
Well, these FBI agents, these agents, these military intelligence agents, and you don't—they're not what you think. You, when you think of somebody in the military, you think of like, "Hey, this guy's like a military." No, these guys are every bit as out there on the left wing as possible. Looks like somebody took a stapler to their face. Not all of them. Not all of them. Some of them, you know, were just politically, you know, Marxists and overtly, you know, would disseminate that sort of ideology. Others were just out there in every sort of bizarre way, you know, tattooed bodies, rarely showering, just everything about them would be unpleasant. And these were the agents that were running the whole operation. And we can name from the top organizations within that were a big part of this, like the feet on the ground that weren't the military intelligence, that wasn't OPPOR. We had the Workers World Daily. We had the so-called Wobblies, the IWW. That is a federal operation. Any one of these local anarchist collectives, if you think that's for real, you've got to be kidding me. You know, and I see certain, you know, it exhibits itself. These guys are going to the same colleges, and a lot of them are very wealthy. because they're federal agents. Just do Google searches on Occupy Richmond, FBI, Federal Reserve, Capitol Police. And if you want to get wild, add assassination attempts into the mix, and then juxtapose that to Title 18 U.S. Code, and you'll see how many hundreds and hundreds of individuals were involved. And when you talk about the nationwide and worldwide Occupy movement, it was tens of thousands of federal agents, and they've got a bottomless budget. And I caller, what's your handle? What's your name? What name do you go by?
Fred. Fred.
Great call, Fred. And
I was just kind of surprised trying to get a handle on your looking at Occupy. I mean, I walked past Zuccotti Park, I don't know how many times in 2015, 100 times. And my whole take on that whole movement, as much as a challenge to fiat currency and corporatism, which is a toxic thing, a Jew thing, but that whole movement, as far as I could see from a distance, was a complete operation, something to counter another operation in the Tea Party, but not anything genuine. I mean, maybe one or two, maybe you, if you were there and you had to care about it, but that was an entire agenda driven thing to create noise, make news, make fake news, and if any space is there to demonize and delegitimize the white man.
Well, yes, that was a lot of it, and we knew.
That's why white guys didn't get to talk.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that was the rules. That's the rules there, man. That you have to be in with the crowd. And you see, I had a little bit. I had political experience before this, and I knew how to outmaneuver certain individuals. So we knew, and we were telling individuals, myself and very few others, who really spotted.
We are so very sorry. There is little we can do but swat them. She didn't beg for not enough. She didn't stay.
Here at Renegade Broadcasting do a great job presenting to you cutting-edge and hard-hitting content every day of the week. They do this all for free because they care about getting the truth out there and ensuring that we and future generations have a future worth living for. Our enemies have an endless supply of money to finance their operations, but we're able to work wonders working on a shoestring budget. If you appreciate a host's content, visit their archive page and find out how to support them, or even send a nice thank you note. We all appreciate it. Thank you for your consideration. Now back to the show.
Sky cracks open, the walls falling through the floor. Just as well to keep it. Get some game in store. You with me? You're causing it to drown. Didn't want to turn that way. You're causing it to drown. Doesn't make a difference now. You're causing it to drown. Silence knows. Can't drown hard. Happenstance is falling through the
cracks each day.
Renegade Broadcasting.
Shift.
Welcome back, everyone. This is a man called Chris Dorsey. You're listening to the Militia Intelligence Report. I want to read real quick from the Daily Caller in regard to an article called "Federal Reserve FBI Spied on Occupy Wall Street Movement Documents Show." It shows a lot more than that. That's not a very good headline. And here we go. The Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond worked with the FBI to closely monitor the protest activities of the Occupy Wall Street movement in 2011. According to recently released FBI documents, the documents obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request reveal that the FBI coordinated at length with local law enforcement, private financial institutions, and other government agencies in their monitoring efforts of the Occupy activities. For example, the Federal Reserve of Richmond, headquartered in Richmond, Virginia, instructed its personnel to monitor Occupy planning sessions and reported to the local FBI office about their finding on a number of occasions. One of the FBI documents published to PCJF's site December 22, 2012, says that the Assistant Vice President of Law Enforcement Unit of the Federal Reserve Law Enforcement Unit was contacted to pass on information regarding the movement known as Occupy Wall Street. If you cannot decode that into the fact that the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond with the FBI was controlling every aspect of the Occupy movement across the country, you don't know anything. And I know and have named the individuals who are doing it. Phil Oleto, Nate Stickle, let me think of some more. Kat O'Brien, what was her name? Bill Nelson, Army intelligence officer. He was outed. He was the police liaison. That's when the violence really started, when I outed this police liaison who was going and working directly with the police, and everybody else in the group was fooled into thinking they were going to tell every bit of clandestine operation, if anybody was genuine, which were very few, to this guy Bill Nelson, who immediately would go on video and tell the police exactly what was going on because he was Army intelligence. And I'd known this guy as Army intelligence for many years before that. I didn't think it was any bit of a secret. And I'd never seen him at a protest event before that. And then now he's in charge of telling the police. They had a police liaison. Okay, that tells you all you need to know. And that police liaison was an Army intelligence officer. That's what the macro of this of these articles you can find about the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, Army Intelligence, and the Virginia State Capitol Police running the Occupy movement around the world. It was right out. I mean, I was getting emails from this guy named Lieutenant James Lane of the Virginia State Capitol Police before I even knew of anything called Occupy even existed. And this guy said, contact me. He just sent me this email, and I still have it, of course. And I've displayed it publicly many times. I've placed screenshots on my Facebook page of this. I have 5,000 Facebook friends and 1,500 followers. Many hundreds and hundreds of people have seen this. I didn't know this guy from anything. And of course, I get a third party to contact him on speakerphone. And then when I attempt to call the state capitol police, I get these weird recordings every time I call when I'm like, hey, I'm being harassed by this guy, Lieutenant James Lane. I don't want to contact him. I don't know what this is about, but I don't need to be in contact with him. And then I see exactly what he's talking about. After I called for the people of Richmond to surround the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank, that's when I started realizing, oh, there's a nationwide Occupy movement, and it's run by OCPOR and Canvas. And guys, look those words up. Look those words up real quick while I'm talking to you. That's the purpose of this show. It's not for you to listen to me and go like, well, either what he says is true, or I think it's true, or I don't think this is true. Hey, don't listen to me. You can verify this yourself. Man, if you do a search for Basel III and the Bank for International Settlements, man, you'll come up with 10 times the amount of information of what I could say in 5 hours on the radio. But I'm just telling you guys, do a Google search. I'm doing it right now as you're doing it, OCPOR. And Canvas. Occupy. And it'll tell you all you need to know, folks. It'll tell you all you need to know. And we'll get it up here in just a second. Exposed. Globally renowned activist collaborated with intelligence firm Stat4. Lesser known and exclusive Occupy.com reveals Popovich and OCPOR, offshoot of Canvas, Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategy, have maintained a close ties with Stat4. Let's see. OCPOR.
Quite a great relationship they've had.
Yeah, absolutely, Ralph. Yeah, if you'd like to expand on that, go ahead.
Sahuchi, the Iranian billionaire, took him out on his boat and stuff. So this web just goes deeper and deeper. They keep putting their hooks into everything. So, I mean, this whole alternative media just, it's a complete psyop and a complete joke. The only way we're going to do anything is by getting together and just regular guys getting in a room or talking to one another about these issues, because all this stuff you see in the alternative media is a complete joke. I mean, even go back to the days of Oracle Broadcasting, before Kyle and Mike Sledge and those guys did Renegade Broadcasting, you had a bunch of yahoos talking about Planet Nirabu crashing. I mean, is that relevant to anybody out in the street right now that's homeless? Is that relevant to anybody that's got to work 3 jobs to keep a roof over their head? This stuff that we're discussing right now is relevant to everybody in the world, and you have people talking about space aliens, flat Earth. Does anybody really care whether the Earth is flat or not? I mean, I don't. Why talk about it? It's not an important issue. Get off that stuff.
And I couldn't agree more, Ralph. It's such a distraction. It's such a distraction. And here, I don't even want to get into this, but if you're going to make the argument that the Earth is not a globe, you can't make the argument that the Earth is flat, because just about 95% of everyone listening can walk out in their backyard and see the Earth is not flat. It's ridiculous. But hey, you're right, Ralph. And here's the other plan. We've told many people this many times. Guess what? Get together in a group. We're going to, you know, between the time of Apocalypse and July 4th, when we have this nationwide movement to directly, lawfully target the Federal Reserve Bank and require the immediate arrest and immediate turnover of all the assets of the Federal Reserve banking system and the issuance of money to a rational, logical group of the body of the people, we're going to have to get together, and we're going to get together in small rooms, and we're going to videotape it. And we're going to say, yes, we're getting together. This crime being committed by the government and what we are required under the law to do, and not only that, what is our duty to just, I don't know, look out for our own preservation and the preservation of our family and every living thing around us requires we have to abolish this government, and we have to do it lawfully. Okay, I do want to go back because I want to point out how these movements are subverted over time. Occupy Wall Street, the American Autumn. Is it a color revolution? Yeah, it is. We're seeing another one in Romania now. We saw a lot of power plays with NATO in Romania. Now you're seeing a color revolution as we speak. And guess what? Otpor has got their hands right in the middle of that again. They overthrew Slobodan Milosevic in Yugoslavia. Then they moved in into Georgia and another, the Rose Revolution there. The Rose Revolution, which put in CIA and Mossad hack Shakashvili in control of the Republic of Georgia, and then they moved on to do all sorts of nefarious activity during the Arab Spring. But here we're going to read some stuff about the introduction of Otpor into the Occupy movement. Historically, progressive social movements have been infiltrated, their leaders co-opted and manipulated through the corporate funding of non-government organizations, trade unions, and political parties. The ultimate purpose of funding dissent is to prevent the protest movement from challenging the legitimacy of the economic elites. So when we go up to Phil Wileto, who you will see directing a lot of these children, and they're mentally children, even if they're physically adults, you go, oh, well, where did this guy come from? Oh, the Workers' World Daily. Oh, where else did he came from? Oh, what is that? The Answer Coalition. Oh, Code Pink. Oh, all these organizations that are funded by the Tides Foundation, the Rockefeller Family Fund, the National Endowment for Democracy. Like, you see, when other folks you may hear on the radio, they talk about this, it's like they just read an article about it. We have firsthand experience. And when I say we, I mean those with firsthand experience, because I know I'm not the only one, but, there's no one with as much firsthand experience with these degenerate losers. And guess what? I call them out every time before these movements start. And that's why I keep telling people, I'm like, hey, don't think just because you got somebody on video, obviously acting like an FBI informant and then admitting they're an FBI informant, don't think that that's going to stop them from continually operating and fooling the next batch of college freshmen that come in to your local college or university. They're just going to continue to operate. So, yeah, this stuff is obvious. It's verified. It's a violation of Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, which is treason, and it's a violation of Article 18 U.S. Code. Or excuse me, U.S. Code Section 18. So, we can go around the table. I'd like to hear David's thoughts on this stuff, and I'll find some more stuff to add to the discussion. But as we've said, yes, we've got to meet together. We're going to give you further instructions on meeting together, where to meet, what is to be discussed. I mean, and you know what? I hope we don't have to do that, because if you listen to this show, it's obvious where to meet, and it's obvious what to discuss. Where to meet? Anywhere, anytime. Like 24 hours a day, you have to dedicate yourself to meeting with individuals, to forwarding this agenda. And what do we have to discuss? How we're going to lawfully abolish this government. How we're going to literally take back the levers of power. Is there any other discussion which warrants any thought? Absolutely not. There's no other discussion that warrants any other thought. Unless you're a joke. And if you're a joke, stay away from us and keep being a joke. David, over to you.
I don't really know much more to say other than please watch Chris's videos, Richmond Peace on YouTube. Richmond Peace. Not hard to forget. I mean, that's basically a blueprint and an example of what all of us can do. How much clearer can I make it?
Well, David, I do want to point out that it's, like I said, you know, I'm not a genius. I mean, this is just, I'm dedicated and I'm passionate about this. And
Chris, neither am I.
I'm not going to make more mistakes than is humanly possible. I know what I'm doing and I'm careful about what I'm doing and I'm clear about what I'm saying as clear as I possibly can because I've worked on this for years and years. When we got the call from Brentwood, I really appreciate him saying, yes, that you're good at synthesizing a lot of information and making it simple because that's what I've dedicated my life to doing. And I work at it like it's my only job because it is my only job. And I do want to say real quick, I do appreciate I have gotten some donations. And of course, I mean, those who have given me the most donations, they're listening now and they know it's appreciated. But I will say to others, especially some that I appreciate you attempting to donate money, just go directly to my email and my PayPal account. My email is rva4peace@gmail.com. You can also do it by entering my phone number, and of course that's public, and I'll give it out right now, 804-938-7773. And the only reason I'm saying that is somebody was very generous and donated some money through my Patreon account, and I can't access that. But in any event, I appreciate that, and I do need that for my groceries. But when we need to get serious here, we need fundraisers, and we need a revenue source and not something that's just, you know, going to cover, you know, being able to feed one person. This needs to be a movement, which means everything. It means we need full-time fundraisers. It means we need a tax-free status. And there's tactics. We've been pushing forward to start a church, and the name of the church, We the People. And David and I have discussed a lot of standing when it comes to churches and family history. And we discuss how we could do things like call ourselves the Catholic Church and say, well, we actually have reasons why we could call ourselves the Catholic Church through prominent members of the Catholic Church in our families and also the Baptist Church. One of my ancestors was one of the founders of the Baptist Church in America. And a lot of other folks are out there collecting tax-free money. And basically, they don't have anything to do with the formation of the Baptist Church. But I do. So we're talking about standing. And if they can fund themselves by printing tax-free money, well, what are we supposed to do? Say, oh, no, don't worry. Like, yeah, I know, property, media, protection, weapons, legal fees. We know everything costs money, but we'll let them make all the money and we'll just sit back and not be able to defend ourselves against anything or barely live a subsistence lifestyle. No. Chris, that's not how you win a game. That's not how that's not how you complete a mission. Go, David. Go ahead.
Okay. Pardon me a minute. I'm almost getting lost to words here. But what Chris means by a church is that it doesn't exactly mean that we're all being converted to Christianity. It just means that these churches, as well as the land, as well as the Constitution, is an inheritance of ours. Because my ancestor, the one on my avatar, helped founded the first three Catholic churches established in Louisiana. Now, whether I proclaim to be a Catholic, which I'm not, those churches belong to me.
Right, David.
My name is on it. And the same thing in Richmond.
Let me just get in there real quick so we can give some more context. How much property does the Catholic Church own in Louisiana? A lot.
That too.
Yes. So that's what we're saying. We'll say, we're the Catholic Church now. We own this property. Who's to stop us? And what's the alternative? To allow them to consolidate their power when they have absolutely no standing to it? That these things are all just made up constructs and they are more, you know, distantly associated with these constructs that we are, and through these constructs, they control all the wealth, and we're supposed to just let them have all that? All the property of the Defense Department? Where they go like, yeah, well, we're going to sit back here in these underground bases and in these office complex in suburban D.C., suburban Denver, Colorado, suburban New York City. And what? We're supposed to just let them sit back with every single weapon of war, the access to all the internet and everything else? And just say, oh, yeah, have that. No, that's how you fail. We want all the property. We want all the deadly weapons of war. Otherwise, we're slaves to the ones who have it. And when we say we say, well, where do you get that authority from, Chris? Well, the law of the land. Well, what's the law of the land, Chris? Well, that's the Constitution for the United States. Well, what's the Constitution for the United States? Well, that's the United States government. Well, isn't the United States government the Defense Department? No, it's not. Because in Article 1, Section 8, it says, well, funding for war, it has to be allowed and put into place by Congress. And then it can only last for 2 years. Well, why is that? Why do they keep saying that? Well, it says standing armies in time of peace is dangerous to a free state. You can't have a free state with a standing army. And then you go like, well, what happened? We used to be a free country. What happened? Oh, wow. Well, we got a standing army. Well, what under the law is the only standing army? Well, that's the militia. Well, wait a second. How come the militia doesn't even exist? How come the militia doesn't have control of all the deadly weapons of war? And does that have anything to do with the fact that we live under a complete tyranny? Like, well, yeah, that's everything in a nutshell. That's how everything works. That's how we're under slavery. And how are we going to get out of it? It's simple. Enforcement of the law. And if you can't read the Constitution for the United States and have the bells and whistles going off in your head or the light bulb moment and go, hey, wait a second. Everything this government does is unlawful. And we're supposed to have all the power, and we don't have any of the power. What's going on here? What are we going to do? Well, let's flip the script. Let's take all the power and take all the authority. Or otherwise, we have none of the power and none of the authority. Which would you rather have? Hey, I've got a caller calling in, testing 1, 2, and something like that. Caller, go ahead. I want to get to everyone. And of course, we're going to get to Ziggy Kelleher here in just a second, one of my favorite callers. But yeah, we're going to go first to testing 1,
2, 3.
Yes,
Chris.
Greetings, Chris H. Yeah, you got the floor, my friend. Sorry to put you on the spot, but go for it, buddy.
Well, I just tuned in. I heard you talking about, I don't know exactly what you were meaning, but taking over churches. I was thinking if maybe we had, or you had, a church for the people. That's what you're saying, but then it could be maybe a religion for the people, maybe of the people, and for lack of a better word, worshipping ourselves and our people and our ancestors, not necessarily worshipping, but acknowledging what we are and our strengths and what we are striving for.
Absolutely. And absolutely, Chris. Go ahead. My apologies.
Yeah, and it may not necessarily matter if somebody wants to attach a god to that or not. It could be seen as some kind of paganism, but it wouldn't necessarily be paganism. It wouldn't be religious, so to speak. It would just be people coming together in a community and respecting each other and finding those strengths.
That's a necessity, and I want to, I try to keep it simple. So this is pretty much the only dogma for my church. Be nice to your fellow human being and other living thing. And also, here's the number one thing: God creates man, and man creates government. And they're not going to shove all of these false religions down our throat and say, well, guess what? We get to own all the property we want, and we don't have to pay any taxes on it, and we can print our own money, and you can't. Why is that? Because, man, these churches, these guys who run the churches, they don't believe in God. They don't worship Jesus Christ. They worship the devil. Money is their master. And when we say, look, no, nobody's our master. You know, our creator is who created us, and they didn't create us to be slaves. We'll be back with much more great callers tonight, and we'll have many more on the other side.
Is it really our greatest ally?
The USS Liberty?
The incessant spying?
The control of our politicians and police?
The attacks of September 11th?
The Zionist wars of aggression?
The blatant war crimes against innocent women and children?
The organ and human trafficking?
The safe haven for convicted child rapists?
Do we really need to keep going?
The time of Israeli influence over our country must come to an end.
AIPAC is where we will let them know we will not be their goyim slaves any longer. March 26th through the 28th, Washington, D.C.
Be there.
Farm back.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the last half hour of the Militia Intelligence Report. And I must say, many thanks go out to everyone at Renegade Broadcasting. I love that advertisement we just heard for the APACalypse, for protesting APAC March 26th through the 28th, Washington, D.C., Washington Convention Center. We're going to – some of us – hey, whoever wants to meet us in Richmond and drive up together, that would be great as well. I mean, you have my phone number, 804-938-7773. You have my email address, rvaforpeace@gmail.com. You can get in touch with me on Facebook or Twitter. Anywhere you can find me, I'm not hiding. I mean, folks know where I am. For some folks in the know, those who threaten to kill me often, they make sure that they in their threats let me know they know where I live. I mean, everybody knows where I live if they really want to find out. I mean, I live everywhere I go, but you know, I'm generally in the same spot in South Richmond, so that's where I am. And without further ado, I'd like to go to Ziggy Kelleher. Ziggy, are you with us?
Yeah, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm well, and I hope the callers are equally well tonight. They're really on fire tonight, and it's a great show. So I'm just happy with all the callers, and it's been a great show, and looking forward to a great last half hour. So the floor is yours, Ziggy.
And, yeah, I just like thanks, Chris. I'd like people to be aware. I mean, I've seen a couple of these hoaxes stories from Trump and his people. There's the recent one, Steve Gern. He's this U.S. Marine staff sergeant, retires, who's a merc in Iraq, and his video went viral, like 44 million views, and he just gives this real good old boy kind of, like, he tries to do logic. He talked to some Iraqi guys. He said, could I go downtown right now and hang out? They said, no, the villagers would probably behead you, and you'd be in a YouTube video. And then he takes that and says, this is why, you know, you don't let Muslims come into the country, because they will kill you.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the fuck is he talking about? I mean, this is real Trump. He keeps gazing to the left. He's reading a prompter or something for his points.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Zig, you're talking about a degenerate sack of white trash garbage who is an actor and is making a video and getting paid lots of money. If he's got 44 million views, he's getting paid lots of money for that. I know. I mean, that's, I can do the math. I know they pay me, you know, $1 every 2,000 views. So I can do the math with him. I don't have anywhere. I got close to 3 million views altogether on all my videos that I have access to get paid for. So when you got 44 million on one view, that you're getting a payday, buddy. You're getting a payday.
Yeah,
and it's BS. And I can tell you one thing. When I go into Washington, D.C., and I film in the studio, which is controlled by Press TV, which is owned by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and this studio is located inside the CBN building in Washington, D.C., which stands for Christian Broadcast Network, and that Press TV has this tiny little thing that looks like it's an abandoned studio that's got like a freaking, you know, like a crack in the glass door, and it's got like a dirty mop sitting out. I mean, probably not a dirty mop, but you know, it's just doesn't look like it, and it's in the middle of the CBN building. and that we go on there in Washington, D.C. and talk about all the crimes of this U.S. government, and through the fact that all the governments of the world are connected through this Jewish one world government system, which is called the United Nations.
Mm.
I mean, when you go out there and you're standing in the middle of Washington, D.C., and you know what? I mean, I've been up there a few times. There's usually one guy up there. I presume he's a Muslim. He's definitely Iranian. I mean, I've had contact with these Iranians through press TV many times, you know, hung out with them in front of CIA headquarters.
I saw one that you did. I saw that one where you went on and they had the screen on the Iraqis. You were talking about false flags or something, I think, right?
I mean, I go on there so often and I talk to so many different people. So sometimes it's the head of the Yemeni army. Why is he talking to me? I don't know. I didn't organize this, you know, interview where he and I are discussing issues. But that's what happened. And so when I have face-to-face dealings with these government officials who are all Muslims, and of course they are far more polite, far more honest and honorable than anybody I've ever dealt with in any position of any city, state, or federal government inside the United States. They're smarter too. And you know what? Hey, they look healthier. Like, there's something wrong with all these individuals who are, if you're succeeding in this society in any way, under our system, you won't succeed. You will be amongst the outcasts of society. Those who have skills to succeed in this society, we're gonna watch them at the very least, and most of them are gonna be under at least house arrest. So what I'm saying is, the idea that Muslims are a problem in this country is absolutely, it's just not true. The problem is the Jews, and number two to the Jews is probably degenerate people of European ancestry, because they're the ones that have the second most amount of power in this country. And so that's why we don't go like, hey, we're not going to, like, you know, set our goals low and say, hey, if you're white, you're part of our group. That's no questions asked. You're white? Yeah. No. This is the vanguard. You know, this means we don't really accept anyone except besides those who are competent and capable of being in a leadership position and being responsible to themselves and others. And we've seen that there's far too many quote-unquote white people who are willing to just sidle right up to the Jew. I mean, everybody else, the blacks, the Asians, the Anbang insurance, Xi Jinping, president of the,
China.
They're all those slaves to the Jews. They're all compromised, you know, all that stuff. But we're not. And what we'll also say is, hey, whatever they can do to us, we'll do to them. You can't go into a fight and say like, oh yeah, guess what? You can use knives, you can use guns, you can use psychological operations, you can attack my brain and everything else, and I'll tie both hands behind my back and then we'll proceed from there. No. If I'm going to fight somebody, I'm going to fight them using the exact same tools that they do. And if not, I'm not going to fight them.
Yeah, you know what? We became a sparrer now, man. We could get real good at it. The shows you're making, it's a sparrer. It's like we're giving them the same shit back, you know? It's like, here, we're twisting it in your face.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just rational and logical thought. We have none of the power. We have none of the weapons. We have none of the authority over this government. Well, we can either, you know, sit back and take it and do nothing, or the only other option we have is to turn the tables 180 degrees and say, oh, no, no, no. You think that you get to set the value of our money? No, we wish to set the value of our money. Oh, you think you can control all these nuclear weapons and fire them off with, you know, financing each one who's firing it off aimed all at us and that we don't have any control? No, 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 no. That's the first thing we want control of. All the deadly weapons of war. Oh, you think you can warp our brains with filth that you put on TV, mind control, rigged sporting events, gambling dens, opium, heroin, cocaine, crack, you know, crappy ass alcohol that our, you know, myself and others have been taught to binge with instead of, you know, I mean, drink moderately or avoid altogether? Come on. Oh, and guess what? The one medicine that is actually good for you, they go, oh, no, no, no. That's illegal. Don't smoke cannabis because then all these thoughts might come into your head and you'll actually be able to think clearly.
Scary.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, not often enough. We don't often enough, as we should, read the Second Amendment. And I'll go ahead and read it out short and sweet.
Yeah, David, can you get a little closer to the mic?
Certainly. A well-regulated militia becoming necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, how hard is that to understand? Now, I'll take it a step further and say, everything we've ever talked about, that does not mean that you're able to own 20 AR-15s, a couple of AKs, and SKSs, and whatever sort of fancy toys you think you can get your hands on. That means the most deadly weapons of war belong in the hands of the people, every single one of them that you can think of off the top of your head. National security secrets, that should be non-existent. Nothing should be a secret. We should know how much money they keep. We should know what they're developing. We should know what they're releasing, what they're spraying. If we have no idea what any of that is, that's criminal already. So that's the basis we have to go off on, without looking like some ragtag lynch mob. We actually have the law on our side. That's why this issue is so pressing, because of the legal standing that people can actually rally behind. And once everybody understands the courts, the judges, the jury, all that is just irrelevant and illegal. A jury of your peerage, people you immediately know, who you can identify with and actually have a fair trial with, and that's what we're going to have. Every one of these people we name, they're going to be convicted by us. We're not going to take them into the courthouse and expect their judges and their prosecutors that already make up their corrupt statutes and tell them to prosecute. No, that's up to us. Right, Chris?
Absolutely. And I do want to follow up on something you and I were discussing off the air today, and that is about, there should be none of these nonsense national security secrets, because what we're shown is that the most irresponsible individuals in our country are the ones that are given the responsibility over these national security secrets. Russian agents like Michael Flynn, Jewish agents like Stephen Roth, Jewish agents like Donald Trump, and so forth. So what we're saying is, hey, it's real simple. Basically, whoever's got that code, if they're the ones to be entrusted by the code, nuclear, arsenal, and otherwise, other codes, then there's going to be two armed members of the militia that they live with this guy. He doesn't go anywhere without the two armed members of the militia, who are constantly streaming every bit of their activity at www.militiaiswatchingyou.com or whatever we come up with. And I'm going to read from you. And that means we control every underground military base. Every square inch of those underground military bases can be accessed as to what is going on. And until we disarm all of these deadly weapons of war, the body of the people are the ones to control it, not the most insane and compromised child-raping degenerates, which is what we have now. And here...
Yeah, they're talking about the, you know, these nuclear standoffs. What are they talking about? That's the biggest bunch of crap. You can't set off one of those nuclear weapons without having a nuclear winter and pretty much shutting down the country. What are they talking about?
Well, that's true, but according to what I've seen, they've fired off thousands of these nuclear weapons in underground testing, above ground testing. Yeah. And there's a lot of questions
as to whether,
I mean, these bombs are, you know, they create mushroom clouds and they're completely incendiary. And of course, when you add nuclear radiation to that mix, it makes it very deadly. But the question of how powerful these weapons are, it's kind of in question. But one thing that we do know is that every single nation that pays for, makes, and maintains these nuclear weapons, they're all controlled by financed by the same bank.
Yeah.
So game over, end of story. So if the bank decides to cut everybody's money off and say no more money for nuclear testing, they could do that. Well, I mean, there might be, you know, in a vacuum, that's what would happen, I should say. We don't live in a vacuum, so that's probably not a scenario. But my point being that every military on the planet is funded by the same source. So the UN and the Bank for International Settlements, which are the arbiters of world government, they control every single one of these entities that have these fake or real fights, and the leaders of the government always benefit and the people always lose.
Right. Like the Rothschilds did. The Rothschilds 450 years ago, right? In the business of war. I'm going to do
the war business. That's the number one way to get a people in debt, is through warfare. It's the number one way to smuggle guns through warfare, smuggle drugs, smuggle diamonds, smuggle organs, smuggle human traffic, smuggle everything, and get everybody to lose it all, including, in many cases, their lives. So we're going to read from Virginia Declaration of Rights. We've probably done this at least 10 times on this show, the Militia Intelligence Report, and we're going to do it again. That a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people, trained to arms, is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state. That standing armies in time of peace should be avoided as dangerous to liberty, and that in all cases the military power should be under strict subordination to and governed by the civil power. That's the basis of the Second Amendment right there. That was written by George Mason. If you want to find out what he means by every single word he said, you can look it up. It's very clear. There's a lot of context. He was very clear. What is the body of the people? You know, who is the militia? It is the entire body of the people. That's what George Mason says. So, you know, I guess with some, and I'm opposed to Freemasonry. I think we should ban Freemasonry. And another thing I'd like to do is seize the assets of all Freemasons, include all the Catholic Church, all the Baptist Church, seizing the assets. Now, we're going to replace it with something like we were talking about, a religion that's based on rationality, based on this idea of, hey, God creates man and man creates government, and this government known as the Catholic Church and this papal bull called Unum Sanctum that was put forward by Pope Boniface, where basically he just said, oh yeah, well, we're God's representatives on the earth, so therefore we own all the property and everyone that is inhabiting the property. That's where they get it. And that's where I'm glad Chris H. is on the phone, because he made a statement that was very, very prescient. And I'll tell you what it is, and I'm paraphrasing. He basically said what many smarter people than myself have said and what I've said repeating them. We are in a subservient position because we have not properly dethroned and decapitated the usurpers. Now, I'll throw that back to Ralph. Ralph, I mean, that's a pretty simple concept, right? I mean, basically, that's what we're talking about. We haven't been successful in defeating our enemy, and it's just that simple. Until we defeat them, they're not going to give up their power, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. And like I've been saying, all these diversional issues that other people just seem to be focused on takes away from the energy that should be put toward defeating international Jewry, Freemasonry, and the Vatican. To talk about any other issue is pure, unadulterated nonsense and a waste of time. I'm getting sick of it, and all your energy has to be put on this one issue. No other issue matters. Not a damn thing matters. You know, the number one thing that needs to go is the Federal Reserve, Bank of International Settlements. 1A is the United Nations. Anything that the United Nations says is criminal. It's a lie. It's fraudulent. We don't need them to tell us that there's white genocide going on. You can see it with your own damn eyes. So stop quoting that damn document. It's a piece of garbage that you need to wipe your ass with. Start using your eyes and your heads and your hearts. Stop using anything this criminal organization says.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to point out that the UN was formed to end warfare as we know it, to end all war. They have that that big sculpture in New York City of the twisted up firearm, which is very, very symbolic. But yeah, the United Nations was created to prevent wars in what, 1947, was it? Something like that.
1945.
Okay, October 24th. Okay, October 24th, 1945. Go ahead.
Oh, and there's been more war since the formation of the United Nations than there was in the previous, what, 200 years?
Yes.
The United States hasn't been in a full-scale global war like World War II, but it hasn't needed one. It seems like every 2 years.
But Ralph, I think that there have been many global wars. I mean, look
at Vietnam. That's what I was about to say.
And then that went into Cambodia and the Khmer Rouge. Look at what's been going on in Africa, and then connect that at the same time.
Oh, especially Africa, yes.
And also
pillaged that poor continent for years.
Afghanistan, going back to 1979, because we know that the Soviet Union was funded by the same source as the U.S. government. So basically, these two big superpowers with the connecting Chabad Lubavitch organized global crime network, they take turns, you know, guarding and disseminating the international drug trade in Afghanistan, in Colombia, in Nicaragua, in Dominican Republic, in Haiti, in Paris, in Brussels, all in New York City, in Richmond, Virginia, in Miami, Florida. Oh, especially Miami.
Of course, they don't call it Snow City for nothing. It snows 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. All you got to do is lean out the window and yell, "Hey, I need some coke." You're gonna get some.
Oh, I can tell you. I can tell you another thing. Go for it, Ziggy.
Nah, it's just spring break was usually happening. But no, you're right on with that, man. I mean, this is just—it's getting out of hand. It really is.
It says the United Nations officially began October 24th, 1945. Since then, there have been over 150 wars. So, what do you think about that? Oh, this entity is so powerful and incompetent at the same time. They just can't do what they say they want to do. Right? That's the problem.
It's controlled chaos. That's all it is. It's controlled chaos. There is peace. Peace for them. Peace for their wallets, for their pocketbooks. Peace for their posterity. But chaos for us. Bedlam for us. Strife between the Goyim races for us. But these Jews at the top and their Shabbat Goy bitch boys, they get everything. We get jack shit. And that's got to stop, and we're going to stop it starting with this apocalypse. Hell, starting now, we're going to stop it. It should have been retroactive to 200 years ago, but...
Hey, Ralph.
This is getting absurd.
Real quick, I want to say that I think maybe in the description, and if I didn't, I'm remiss, but I was thinking about this plan is being implemented. This is an ongoing operation. So, yeah, absolutely. We've just got a couple minutes to go. So I'm going to take volunteers. Anybody we probably have time for a couple people to speak. Any volunteers? Anybody?
Well, yeah, like
all right, I'll jump in real quick.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No. What Ralph was saying was Netanyahu. They tell you that themselves, that they want the best outcome is continuing with chaos, with the war. They don't want it to end. They want it to continue, and lives get taken, and money gets spent, you know, for weapons. Just keep it going.
Absolutely, great point. Let's go out. Let's go out to Fred in Brentwood, New York. Closing thought: we got about a minute to go.
I'll do 15 seconds. So we got the UN, we got the Bedford National Settlements, right? And what is that? That's a synagogue. That's an ecclesia. That's a church. It's a governing body. So if you want to talk about creating a space and calling it a religion, which is just discipline. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got some discipline. Unless you have no discipline, well, have it, and it's yours, and it's your governing body, your church. That's what it's supposed to be, and so that's what we are creating. That's where on the groundswell of creating it. But so we don't have to be afraid of those words, church, religion, because it's just discipline and governing body.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but the number one word I want everybody to remember is the most important, and that is militia. Militia. Yeah. And
maybe that can be the face.
Absolutely. That is the face. 100% correct. And we're completely out of time. And thank you all for calling. It's one of the greatest radio shows I've ever been involved in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
Flicking through a little book of sex tips. Remember when the boy... I'm really tired of hearing all about Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews.